What the people on the right side of the room don't know is that everyone on the left side is naked. Only I know the truth. There's this movie where I think Bruce Willis is a cop on a boat. Yes, everyone, yes. And the chase scene, if you actually watch it, makes absolutely no sense. And you're like, what? You're going through the Squirrel Hill Tunnel? What? So, yes. Okay, now poems. And, yeah. How to punch someone without getting hurt. It will always hurt. Don't fool yourself. But once you've bloodied knuckles enough, you will stop feeling. You will learn to love the ugly, shattered ribs, broken collarbones, crooked noses. That chair, you'll say, I threw it at her in a fight. That's why it rocks a little. You will like it better this way. You always know where you stand on a broken chair. When the rage comes, you will attempt to quiet it. You will clench your fists. You will make yourself small so that you don't explode harder. As each finger curls under, you'll pray for caution, for patience, for the opportunity to be less like your forebearer and his before, when you know you can't contain it, when the crimson bursts, whatever dam kept it abated, when the smile you've been flashing turns from insincere to terrifying, the kind of smile that breaks a woman's arm. That's when you will know. When you will first look for a wall or a window or any surface that can absorb the shock of your fury, it will surprise you how good it feels. A joy that borders on pride, like you made something with your hands. When you hit a person, the feeling will be different. It will still you how much more pliant skin is than a punching bag, how much easier it cracks and how much harder bones are than wood, how long you can tornado before you suffocate in marrow. You will regret, you will beg, you will promise. But if you don't, what will you feel? Like you've connected to something greater than yourself, until hurt is just something that happens, something you feel below the wrist and above the neck. You were taught to always put up a good fight. You got a criminal smile, the kind that would break a woman's arm, but I've already told you that. You will learn to take your licks, to heal scratch marks, to apologize to men in uniform. You will learn to make excuses, to make them understand that it was never your fault. You will never unlearn how to curl your fists. You will tell them they were wrong. You will show them they were wrong. You stop feeling. That's how you punch someone without getting hurt. I love you so much I could hit you over and over again as you tornado back our crooked little dance, until bruises fuse our skin, until ugly is all that we feel, all that we are. The origins of the knife war. She put his knives in the dishwasher. He put notes on the dishwasher to helpfully remind her that knives most definitely did not go in the dishwasher. No one knows if she saw the notes before they fell to the ground and were thrown away by a third party, also unknown. But again, with the knives in the dishwasher, this could not stand. This did not stand. The end of the knife war. She stood in the garden over the hardest clump of soil, wielding two chef knives like a television ninja. So help me, she screamed. So help me, I will plunge these knives into the ground if you do not apologize. I will temper the shit out of this blade until you apologize. So help me, so help me. Please don't, he said. I'm sorry, he said. Please don't, he said. And she collapsed, knife in each hand, into a heap of sobs, because she knew He'd only apologize to save the knives. I want to thank Joan and Jimmy and Chris and everyone. Jason, your poems were so Pittsburgh. I love that. And you do have such a great radio voice. I feel like you'd be like, I don't know, I just want to listen to you like walking through cemeteries on a podcast. I think that would be excellent. Here's a poem about nutty bars. It's called Little Nutty Bar. One. The man I love hid the nutty bars from me, citing the inherent disgust of anyone eating Little Debbie and my expanding waistline. For you, he tells me, to help you. It's not okay, he tells me, to eat those gross peanut butter wafers covered in sticky sweet chocolate. My best friend will balk at my love hiding food as though his job were to condition me into a better version of myself. She will comfort me as shame leaves grooves like laugh lines. I'll shrug it off. Perhaps I am wrong. Probably I am wrong. Still, when I find the box, I devour it whole, burying the shells at the bottom of the recycling. Two. I stand in front of the mirror, pinching my arms, gripping my thighs, and jiggling too hard for comfort. Delicious the fire that remembers everything it burns, as if you could cut open the flame and inside find the sediment of desire. Oh, little one, I laugh. I wanted to be you so much, I've decided to keep you, to swallow you whole. Three. One of my students brings nutty bars to the last day of class, a potluck I declared to celebrate our writing. They're so good, she says when she catches my eye consuming the yellow box's sincere Midwestern smile. I know. I know. During class, I restrain. Let cookies and cakes fill younger, leaner stomachs, and when they leave, I sit quietly at the desk in the corner and peel myself open. Two bites and poof. Only the plastic remains, a telltale sign of devouring, the eager hunger of one with something to hide. Time goes by really fast when you start with a long poem. So I only have two more and they're shorties. This is, Dog and Bird Discuss Flight, What Dog Remembers. There is a piece of raw hide I once buried so deep I lost its scent. There are cats I've watched climb beyond my reach and bite. With wings their bones would crunch, the satisfied grinding of victory. I want so much to be you as I am, to love you as I make you myself. Sweet bird, I can hold you tighter than you've ever been held. Tell me how to catch you. Tell me how to catch you. Animals are the perfect subject because we can imbue them with all this like innocence. Right? Even though they're actually like evil, terrible creatures that are like, you know, driven by like base desires. Like, you know, my dog's like, I will be the dominant of all things. I will hump you couch person leg. You know, like, that's not super innocent. But we have this image of animals, you know, like they're these like lovely things. And I write about them and, you know, they've got big eyes. I don't know. Animals. All right, this is called It's a Doggy Dog World. It's my last poem. Colonel Dinosaur curls up next to me, his wet nose soon in my lap, his schnauzer mustache improbable. When I ignore him, he doth complain, his furry eyebrows insistent, his tongue a quiet alarm raspy in its metronome. For a bit I indulge him, scratching snout and ears, his nubby tail stump wagging furiously, a windshield wiper in monsoon. Soon I tire. I cannot caress him infinitum. Like all humans, I cannot love anything in eternity except in promise. When I stop, he will sit in protest, roll over, expose belly, vulnerable, as all creatures begging love must be. I offer him a shrug, as Leela and Lola mutt their way through his line of sight. And Colonel Dinosaur leaves me for them. Because, you know, bitches. I saw that. My first spit take. Thank you.